خلاص وبلسي وبحريش وبوش اسمع لك Jesus name Amen Amen Glory to God good to see everyone as everyone. God bless you all. God bless you all. Many things are going on in our nation today. There's no way for us to bury our heads under the sand and pretend nothing is going on. We are being confronted by our own evils. Our sins are visiting us. And so we can't run from it, but we can run to God. We can go to Him because He's our forever again. There's nothing new with our God. The Lord is not trying to catch up with the day. He knows all things from the beginning. And so we will always run to Him. Know that in all things God has a plan. In all things He has a plan. I believe that the plan of God for the church now is really for the church to rise up. I like that question, I guess, came from Pastor Laurie, that if the Lord Jesus was writing a letter to you as a church, how would He address you? What would He say to you? What are the things He's going to tell you, keep doing? And what are the things He's going to say to you, but I hate this about you? It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the church to be the ones that will give direction, the one that will give wisdom, the one that gives revelation. The church cannot rely on CNN, but apparently the church is relying on CNN. The world needs direction, and it's coming from the church. This is what the scripture says. Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He should strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Praise the Lord. The Bible speaks about Jesus Christ here. But look and listen to what he says about the Spirit that is on Christ. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The what Christ will delight in, or who he will delight in, is in the fear of the Lord. And the way Christ shall speak, he will not judge by the sight of his eyes. He will not be carried away by what CNN is saying. But in righteousness and in equity, with truth, he will speak. So let's go back to that letter Jesus is writing to you. What is he discussing with you? Is he commending us that he can find these virtues in us? Is that what he's saying? Is he saying to you, I see you walking in wisdom and understanding. I see you operating in the spirit of counsel and might. I see the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord is operating in you. Is that what he's going to write? This is the time for the church. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Are you prepared to be the witness for Christ? Are you ready to be a witness for Christ? Every witness for Christ must express Isaiah chapter 11. Because that speaks of Christ. You cannot be a witness for someone that you don't represent. What are we going to do, church, in these times? I'm not asking you what your pastor is going to do. I'm asking you, what are you doing? How would you advise, how would you counsel now an African American who comes to you? What would you say to them? What would you say to the one who went and broke that window and shattered that glass and the one who stole things from the store? What would you say to them? Would you be the witness for Christ? Would you have enough compassion? Do you have enough love in your heart? Do you have enough mercy? Do you have enough grace? What would you say? Jesus never came for the righteous. He never found anyone doing good and called them. Everyone he found was a sinner doing something they're not supposed to do. Everyone he found. Everyone that ever followed Jesus was a sinner doing what he or she was not supposed to do when he found them. It's time for the church to rise. The Lord has allowed us to come to this precipice so that the church can be the salt and the light in this world. Jesus asked this poignant question. If salt lost its ability to season, think about that. How can you make it good? If you take away the seasoning in the salt, how can you put it back? How do you put it back? That's why he said it's useless. If the church loses our seasoning in this time, we are not useful to him. We can dance all we want, sing all we want. But if we cannot be the light that shines in the path so that many can follow him, we are not useful to him. The one we witness. This is not the time for the church to shrink back anymore. You must arise. You must shine. You must arise and you must shine. This is your time. This is the appointed time for the church. Is the church weak? Yes. Jesus knew that we're going to come to the end of ourselves. Go with me to John chapter 2, please. John chapter 2. Jesus knew that we shall come to the end of ourselves. And it's not a bad thing as long as he has an invite. Praise God. John chapter 2. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana. I pray that the third day blessing upon you in the name of Jesus. There's a mystery of the third day. I want to bless God. For his grace that we can enter the blessing of that mystery. He says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Thank God that they invited Jesus to the wedding. Who is the bridegroom in your wedding? Who is your bridegroom? If anger is in your bridegroom, is your bridegroom in your wedding, then you will run out of wine. If flesh is your bridegroom, you will run out of wine. If you make this world your bridegroom, now the bridegroom is the most important person in that culture, in the wedding. If your job, if your money is your bridegroom, we don't have what it takes to be the witness. We won't have what it takes to be the church he wants us to be now. You can invite Jesus to the wedding and ignore him. Jesus was at this wedding, but he wasn't given any kind of honor, any kind of recognition. And all the attention was on the bridegroom, because they figured he was the most important person. The bridegroom was responsible for everything anyone would eat, including the wine. Who is your bridegroom? Verse 3, and when they ran out of wine, you know, there's a way the scripture puts it here that makes it clear that it was only a matter of time. It was only a matter of time that life will present you the things that you will not be able to manage. It was only a matter of time before they ran out of wine. And the responsibility for wine is still the bridegroom. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Who is your bridegroom? Think for a minute with me now. What is the most important thing in your life? And don't pretend like it's God if it's not. Because He knows. He'll know what you, He knows. If you say that God is the one most important person in your life, then let me consider this. How much time do you spend with Him compared to how much time you spend with others? Other things. How much time do you spend with your car? And how much time do you spend with God? Who is your bridegroom? Who is your bridegroom? How much time do you spend with your phone? And how much time do you spend with God? Who is your bridegroom? Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Thank God for Mother Mary. Thank God for Mother Mary. She says, no, boy, I know you. He says, I know you. I know who you are. That's why she went to him. She goes, I know who you are. They might not honor you here. They might not be paying attention to you here, but I know you. And she said, do whatever he asks you to do. See, the other rest of the people didn't quite get Jesus. And so when he gave instructions, they might not do it. But the mother made clear, whatever he says, make sure you do that. And she just left. Oh, bless that woman for us. His mother said to his servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And I was reading this and I was repenting. Because the Lord said to me, they said the same thing to me in Ghana. I don't know if you guys remember. What a prophecy. It says, God is warning you. Whatever I tell you, say it. And I began to repent. I said, Lord, who is my bridegroom? It And Jesus proceeded to tell them, fill the water pots with water and fill them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And there was confusion. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. The bridegroom is responsible for the wine. Thinking it was this bridegroom who was providing, he called that bridegroom. Can you see Jesus just looking at them? He said, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. I'm sure if I ask you the question, how many of you want good wine this morning? You're going to raise two hands, two legs, anything you have, you say, yes, give me some. But rather than give it to you, I'm going to tell you who the bridegroom is. He's in charge of that wine. It's the one who says he wants you to be his witness. He is in charge of that wine that never runs out. He is the one who says, you will be my witnesses in the towns where you live, in Massachusetts, in the United States. He is the one who says, you're my witnesses at work. You're my witnesses everywhere you are. He is the one with the new wine. Is the one who has raised you up for such a time as this. Because he knows what will happen in this nation at this time. He knows about the racial injustice. He understands the systemic racism. But yet he's raised you for such a time as this. To be his witness. Are you out of your wine? Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling hopeless? Are you confused about what's going on? It's okay. You just run out of your wine. He gives you his wine. As it describes in Isaiah chapter 11. That doesn't go dry. Wisdom will not go dry. Knowledge won't go dry. Understanding won't go dry. The fear of the Lord won't go dry. The power won't go dry. The might won't go dry. The revelation won't dry up. Rather, it's a river. It's a river. Do you believe you can make a difference now? If you don't, your wine ran out. Do you believe you can make a difference? Are you willing to call good good and evil evil? This is the time to rise up, church. Be the anointing that will break the yoke. Be the light that will shine in the path of people. Be the salt in the lives of African Americans that will cause them to be the season God wants them to be. You know, and by the way, I guess maybe only three people here only three people here can remotely qualify as African American. The rest of us, myself included, were part of the problem. We are part of their problem because we failed to recognize, we failed to appreciate the onslaught of evil that has plagued them since someone took them from the shores of Africa to places they don't know. You see, us immigrants were inserted in this place at a certain time. And we come with pride of having traceable ancestries, foundations laid at home and made us strong, made us believe in ourselves, which they didn't have. So what are you now? Are you light? Are you willing to be the light? Are you willing now, even if you won't march down the streets of Boston to protest, would you protest at your job? Would you? Or do you think your wine has run out? What would you do? Would you protect the safety of your income rather than be light in the midst of the injustice? Which one would you choose? Would you be a voice that is silent rather than be the light that needs to shine in darkness? We have a grave responsibility, church. We have a serious responsibility in the times we are living. Jesus said in that scripture we read in John chapter 2 that a master of the ceremony says, "You kept the best wine for last." Do you understand that what is in you, what we carry, is better than what has happened? The spirit of Isaiah chapter 11 is greater than the evil that has happened. Do we really have that wine? My brethren, talk is cheap. The Holy Spirit is not man. The Holy Spirit is God. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Don't tell me you are anointed. Don't tell me you carry the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me you speak in many tongues. Don't tell me you lay hands on the sick when there's darkness and you can't shine as light. When our wine runs out in the face of challenges, we've done church long enough. We can set church aside now and be the church. Of course, if I'd asked anyone the question, "Do you want the anointing of Isaiah chapter 11? Everybody would have said yes. So why don't you have it? It's yours. He is the head. We are the body. He's resting on us. Right? The anointing is for you." He said, "I am going so that I can send that spirit." The same one you read in Isaiah 11. It's for us. So that we can be the hosts of Christ. You know what that means, right? It means that the Holy Spirit is like a visitor. And you open the door of your home and you invite him, and he comes in and you're hosting him. So this vessel is the host. He knocks at the door. Anyone who opens, he comes in to dine with us. Now you are the host. You are carrying the spirit of Isaiah chapter 11 inside of you. Supposedly, we're carrying that spirit. Please, I know you don't believe that that spirit will run in the face of trouble. It's not going to hide when multitudes are looking for direction and they don't know which way to go. Of course, we can't go to Washington unless God sends you there to do something. But I don't need to go to Washington to be effective. Quite frankly, I don't even need President Trump to do anything I need to do. I don't need that. Since when did Jesus need Pilate or Caesar or any of them? When did he need them? Just call it spade a spade. Call it what it is. But I can tell you that in your neighborhood, at your work, that's where you will be needed. Because that's where he put you. If everyone is busy with their own little enclave, guess what? It's going to be a mighty move of God. You worry about where you are. Somebody else will take care of where they are. And guess what? That is the true revival we're speaking about. Well, I can go into certain things this morning, but I'm going to avoid it. Jesus is a bridegroom with a new wine. And this is the wine he's given us. We are not going to sit back as a church. I'm talking about you as a person. You're not going to sit back. Criticize, complain, and point fingers, you will be the answer. You will be the solution. Next time something is happening that is not right in the eyes of God, speak to it in the spirit. Don't criticize it. Begin to address it with God. If you feel African Americans, there's something wrong, don't accuse them anymore. I'll tell you something. No human being in this nation have any right to point a finger at an African American. No human being. None of us. You will not have this nation you have today, you're so proud of, if it weren't for them. Nobody. So next time you see something you don't like, go to God in prayer and settle it with God. We are the light of this world, and we will shine.
Because of Isaiah chapter 11, we will shine. We are the salt that the world needs. And this world will be seasoned because of us. It will happen. It is nothing we're not going to negotiate. It will happen. We are carried away by the things that are not relevant. And that's why we run out of our wine. That's why we get tired. We get confused. We don't know what to do. Because we are not focusing on what really matters. The Church of Jesus Christ is never a bystander in the affairs of the world. No. The Church of Jesus Christ can never be relegated to the background of the things that happen in this world. It's not written anywhere. If no one has such authority, no system, no government, nobody has such authority to relegate the Church of Jesus Christ to the background. Nobody. Not even death can do it, because he conquered death. That doesn't mean we're going to have to run for politics. If he wants you to, fine. It doesn't mean you're going to be working for CNN. No, it doesn't mean any of that. It means that wherever you are, no spirit has authority to relegate you to the backgrounds. Nobody. We can run, we can fly, we can fearful and do what we're not supposed to be doing, but it's not of God. So change has come. Change has come. Not the Washington change. The revival in the church. It has come. True revival. I'm talking about true revival. Thank God for all other revivals. But there is a move of God that is not like the old. It's not like the former things. There's a new move of God. It's not like the former. There's a new move of God. And if you expect it like to be like the former, you will miss it. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 18. Sorry, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I will take the liberty to expand or extend the meaning of pray here, a very loose term, to mean that anything we do for the Lord, not just pray. In our service, in our worship, in our obedience, in our love, in any mission He gives us, we must stick with it and not lose heart. It's easy for us, the church, to lose heart because we see the problem so big in our eyes. But he says we ought to always pray, especially when the odds are against you. Especially now that we feel like the odds are against us, This is the more time we need to press into what He wants us to do, to be what He wants, to minister the way He wants, to serve the way He wants, to love the way He wants, to rebuke the way He wants, to correct the way He wants. He says we ought to do that and not give up, no matter what we face.
He said there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." Let me paint the picture here. Back in those days, the judge, this particular judge, or any other judge that was around then, was the final court. It was the first court and the final court. It was the Supreme Court, the Appeal Court, everything rolled in one, this man. His decision is final. Now, it's interesting they used a widow, because then a widow was left with nothing. They don't get inheritance. They don't get any provision. They get nothing. Except someone in their family cares for them. They don't have land. They don't have property. They don't have their husband to go in the council and speak for them. So this widow also was helpless, except this judge who helped her. Those are the odds. This is how challenging it was. And then this widow knew that this judge was a wicked judge. And you know that this judge did not care about her, neither did he care about anyone. The judge didn't even care about God. The fear of God was not in him. All the judge cared about was the judge. Yet she went to him. Yet she went to him repeatedly. Yes, she went to him repeatedly. Yes, she pressed in. Yes, she pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. To the point where this wicked judge says, "You know what? I have to do what she wants. Unless she will kill me." Now, the judge is still being self-centered. He's only given her judgment because this woman, widow, was relentless. Now that's what a wicked judge does. So the question Jesus has for you, verse 6, "Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect?" If a wicked judge could not ignore the petitions of this widow, what makes you think that God is going to abandon you as you're pressing in and laboring? Who told you that? Jesus says, "Is that really what you think about God? Is that really what we think about Him? That He's going to abandon us. That He's not going to answer us. And that this wicked judge is more righteous than God. Do you really think that?" And no, we don't. So this is not a time to shrink back, because you have a guarantee that the one who sent you is faithful. This is not that time. There's a present evil we are facing in this society. Let's not run from it. Let's make sure that that evil does not prosper where we are. Yeah. God will not abandon us. Let's make sure that the spirit of wisdom will prevail where we are. The spirit of knowledge will prevail. Spirit of fear of God will prevail. The spirit of power will prevail. The spirit of revelation will prevail. The spirit of might will prevail. The spirit of the counsel of God will prevail. Let's make sure so that, you know, when this is over, and he writes you a letter, he'll say to you, I knew you had little strength, but you did not deny me. He said to you, I know you are dwelling where Satan dwells, but yet you refuse to deny my name. He will say to you, I know you are witnessing persecution, yet you were light in that persecution. He says, come into the rest that I prepared for you, because I knew you wouldn't disappoint me. I knew you wouldn't give up. I knew it, and I made a place for you. Praise the Lord, church. You have what the world needs. They don't have what you need. We have what they need. Let us become prayerful. Let us seek God for what we are called to do in this time. Let us pray for the spirit of repentance. Let us pray for spirit of repentance, that this nation will repent. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me for what I've done. No, I'm not talking about that kind of repentance. I'm talking about the person who caused the lady to be fired to go make sure she rehires somebody who's African American. That's repentance. Even if she has to quit her job to make sure somebody else is hired. That is repentance. Don't tell me that your people stand, oh, please forgive us. No, when you're done saying forgive me, go to your office and make sure you hire an African American. Even if you have to fire yourself and put one there. That is repentance. That is what repentance is. Go give up the land that was stolen from them. That is repentance. That's what we need. That's what we need. The one who doesn't have a job, go help them apply for job. Go help them so that they can get the job. Go to the interview with them. Call the person interviewing. Say, why aren't you hiring them? Go do that. That is repentance. Go back to your office. Go tell your vice president, you need to hire African Americans. Why? Because you denied them the job. That is repentance. That is repentance, church. That's what God is calling us to do. Be the light. And so when all this is done, we'll be like Esther. Remember the warning Mordecai gave Esther. If you're silent at this time, God will still deliver the people. But what about you? Let us pray. Father, we thank you and bless you. Of course, I once humble myself and ask you to forgive my emotions and anything I do or say that is not of you. I still need your mercy and grace. I only know in part and speak in part. But that which is perfect is you. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take that which is perfect and cause each one to have an understanding that is of you. And that which is not of you, my Father, in the sight of the side. But at the end of it, Lord, as long as we are your witness, when, where, and how you want it, then it's well with our soul. Indeed, we ask for true repentance in this nation. True repentance in this nation. For your glory and your praise. I don't expect the world to be repentant. I'm not expecting the world to repent. I'm expecting the church. I'm expecting the church. That's the word of the Lord for you.
That's what he just said to me. I'm not expecting the world to repent. I'm expecting you, the church, to repent because you know me.
Yes, sir.
You are the ones I want you to repent and go make it right. Father, we thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name.